Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
I spent lots of time making sure that everyone knew that I love them, to say goodnight, to get hugs and all of those things, because there were times where it hurt so badly, I thought, I'm probably not going to wake up. I thought I was going to die.
Everybody has a story, and everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning.
It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope,
and power.
It has many characters.
And so you and I are
a part of it.
We're not the hero.
This is Epic.
Hi, this is Meredith Foster. When Sabrina Scott was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease as a teenager, she wondered what she'd done to deserve it. It seemed to her this illness would be a price she would be forced to pay for the rest of her life. God was allowing it, and there was nothing that could be done to change that. She had no say, no control, and no hope that God would make a difference. It's a lot for a teenager to sort through. She couldn't imagine that one day she might see this journey as a gift. This is chapter 52 of Epic, Sabrina Scott's story.
It was late summer going into fall when I started to experience numbness in my fingertips. That's the first thing that I began to notice. I was riding my bike outside at my grandmother's house, and I came inside and I said, "Mom, Grandma, look at my hands." And my fingertips were white. They were tingling. For me, at that moment, that was kind of like, what in the world is going on?
Were you scared?
I was scared.
How old were you?
I was 14. I had just turned 14. But there were some things happening earlier that year that were signs for my mother, but not really signs for me. I think about a year and a half or maybe 2 years leading into these white fingertips, my mom noticed that my glands in my neck would swell. And so she would take me to the pediatrician. He would look at it and say, "Oh, it's probably sinus or something of that nature." And then he would put me on an antibiotic. It would go away. And then they would come back. I think we had been to the doctor with that a couple of times. Then I noticed the white fingertips. So we went back to the doctor. By this time, I started to feel really lethargic, very tired. Also, arthritis was setting into my hands, and I didn't realize at the time that it was arthritis. I just knew that when I woke up in the morning, it always took a half an hour or so for my hands to feel somewhat normal. They would always be in a very cramped position. It took a while for them to warm up. So I think these things, you know, started to accumulate, and my mother was getting worried, and I was getting worried. And so we went to the doctor, and I remember that I was feeling not well. And so I didn't go to school that day, and I'd fallen asleep in my parents' bed. My mom got a call from our pediatrician, and at the time, he thought that I had Hodgkin's lymphoma. Honestly, I don't know much about, but I think it's a cancer of the lymph nodes. My mother didn't tell me this until much later, but she was terrified. The pediatrician tells her, "This is out of my realm. We would like to send her to the local children's hospital." And so that's where things got started. In the midst of this, you know, I'm transitioning from middle school into high school. I had spent the last 5 years in a performing arts school. So it was a very small, niche group of students. We were very close, tight-knit. And now it was time to transition back into the high school where all of the middle schools flowed into. So this was already a time where I was transitioning into high school. Things were hard enough as it is. And on top of that, I'm not feeling well. So my energy levels were enough to get me up in the morning at about 6 o'clock, get through school. School let out around 2:30, 2:45-ish. I would go home. I would try my hardest to stay awake until about 4:30 so I could get all of my homework done. Because at that point, if I fell asleep, I was done. I was done for the night.
You would be asleep for the night?
For the night. I missed a lot of school that year.
And social life?
Social life. I love to dance and do those things. I did it as much as I could, but it took 3 months to diagnose me. And so until they have a diagnosis, they can't treat you. And I was getting very little to no medication, and the arthritis was just setting in to different parts of my body. And so I had to suspend my dancing for a while, and that was really hard because that was my outlet. That's what I love to do. this 3 month period of going through testing, you know, they started me off at the oncologist. I eventually moved over to a rheumatologist where they were able to diagnose systemic lupus erythematosus.
And what does that mean?
At that point in my life, I didn't know what it meant. I knew that I was in physical pain. I knew that I was exhausted. And I knew that I was frustrated because it was extremely difficult for me to articulate how I was feeling. And I know that my mom and my dad and my older brother wanted to do all that they could to help me. But it's difficult when you can't articulate what it is you need and how it is you're feeling. And so I think that kind of breeds frustration for everybody. Mm-hmm. Because they want to understand, they want to meet you somewhere. But I thank God for them. They went out of their way to make me comfortable. I just remember my grandmother coming over and she and my mom would give me baths. And my brother, he would carry me to the restroom. He would carry me to the restroom, make sure I was in there. And then he'd wait for me and then he'd have to carry me out. Because at this point, it was difficult to walk. It was painful to roll over in bed. It was just hard. I would just lay in the bed and just cry because it hurt so badly.
What was your faith? Were you a believer in Jesus at that point in your life?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I was born and raised in church. My grandfather was a pastor of the church that we attended at the time. Very strong foundational teaching, but I was young and very inexperienced. I had accepted the Lord at age seven. I knew what I was doing. I knew intrinsically that I love the Lord and I want to be with him. And this is what I need to do to go to heaven. Very simple, childlike faith. I tell you, it's an amazing thing. But, you know, at 14, I really didn't have much to go on.
So for a lot of people, when something like that happens, you'd get upset with God.
Yeah.
Did you experience that?
Not that I can remember. I think I was too terrified of him to be upset. But I was very confused and I wanted answers. I think that I was always one of those children that whatever mom and dad asked me to do, I was there to do it. You don't have to ask me twice. I'll even do it before you ask me to do it. You know, I just felt like I'm on my P's and Q's. I'm obedient. I do well in school. You know, I'm not, you know, I had friends who were sneaking around in high school, you know, doing those things. And I just wasn't interested in any of that stuff. I just felt like I was safe because I was doing everything I was, quote unquote, supposed to be doing.
So in your mind, did you think because you were doing what you should do, then bad things wouldn't happen?
I think I did. I think I did feel that way without expressing it. Mm-hmm. But when I consult my memory, yeah, I think that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. Definitely. So I spent a lot of time combing through my fragmented memories of things that I may have said, may have done. And I just remember at one point I was thinking, oh, I told my brother I hated him. Like we were arguing like we always do. You know, he's 2 years older. He's bigger, stronger, but I'm thinking you can't get over on me. You know, we knew what buttons to push. Mm-hmm. And it was something that I blurted out often and my mother hated it. But I'm thinking that must be it. That must be it.
So when you comb back through your memories, that was what you pinned it on.
That is one of those things I was like, that has to be it.
This is the reason why.
Yeah. I laugh at that now, but I think that it's part of our human nature to go back and try to piece things together as best as we can because we are finite and we have absolutely no idea of the bigger picture. But we try so hard to piece things together. I will say that I spent lots of time making sure that everyone knew that I love them, to say goodnight, to get hugs and all of those things, because there were times where it hurt so badly. I thought, I'm probably not going to wake up.
You thought you were going to die?
I thought I was going to die.
As a 14-15-year-old?
As a 14-15-year-old.
Did you express that to anybody? Did anybody know you were carrying that fear?
I don't think at the time.
That's
there were a lot
heavy.
Of things that I was going through that at the time, looking back on it, I think with an autoimmune deficiency, not knowing what that means and basically being told that your body is confused and it's beating up on itself and we don't know what causes that and we can't fix it. It's extremely overwhelming for a child And I look back at it now and I can say that I was depressed, very depressed. I slept a lot, not only because I needed the rest, but I longed for sleep at some times because it's almost the only place where your thoughts kind of don't betray you and you feel safe when you're sleeping. Yeah. So there was lots of that. And I think you do the best you can with what you have, but I probably could have benefited from some sort of counseling or some advice in that way, but you do the best with what you have.
So how long did it go on in that way? Your state of health and your level of functioning?
Once they diagnosed me, they started to play with different medication cocktails, which helped, but they had their price. So one of those was an extremely high dose of prednisone. And if you're not familiar, prednisone is a steroid. I call it the miracle drug from down below because it fixes a lot of things, but it's got some side effects to it. So, I mean, it makes you hungry. You get what they call moon face, where your cheeks are very swollen looking or very round face. It can hype you up. It can make you tired. It can do all these things, cause acne, all of these things. And so I was extremely quiet and guarded about my diagnosis all throughout high school.
Did your friends know what was going on?
Some of my friends knew. I had two, three close friends that knew what was going on. But for the most part, I just endured what everyone else thought was going on. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard when you don't tell people what's going on, but you're wearing it. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking around with these side effects. And I just kind of let them think whatever they wanted because I was kind of embarrassed.
Did you know what they were thinking? Did you hear the things they were thinking?
I heard rumors.
Okay.
I did hear rumors.
So physically things got a little bit better?
Yes. Physically things did get better. I would say maybe after about 6 months on a drug regimen that was working for me, I started to feel much, much better. I got back into dance. I got back into singing and doing school performances and all of those things. And I was content with just being okay. And I think you kind of float through for a while and you don't know how good or bad you're feeling until things change. I made it through high school. I survived. I survived high school. And then you go off to college. And then that's another world because you don't have mom and dad to hold your hand. I'm getting myself to the doctor at that point. I'm doing the best that I can. But still, at that time, I was a bystander of my disease. I think I let it define me. And I think at that time I was just kind of going along with whatever the doctor said. I didn't pay much attention. I didn't take notes. I didn't ask questions. I didn't do any of those things. And so you just feel okay until maybe something changes. And then it's like, oh, no, I don't feel okay. Or I feel much better now. Didn't realize that I wasn't feeling well before. But those things, I didn't really have control. I didn't have a hand on or a handle on those types of things and the changes that they produced. I just felt like this is my life. This is my story. This is how it's going to be. And just be prepared for another flare when it comes. Not necessarily thinking that there was anything that I could do or not do to assist in my own healing or well-being.
Sabrina believed this was how life was going to be, struggling through, never knowing when lupus would flare up, having no control over her life or her health, and there was nothing she could do about it. But God had something else in mind. Part 2 is coming up. Today we are sharing Sabrina Scott's story. Diagnosed with lupus at age 14, she was well enough to get by, but felt so out of control of her health. She'd always been a sort of bystander in her care because she thought there was nothing she could do about it. Here's part 2 of her story.
I just felt like this is my life. This is how it's going to be. And just be prepared for another flare when it comes. Not necessarily thinking that there was anything that I could do or not do to assist in my own healing or well-being.
So how did that change?
Well, my husband and I started dating. Things got serious and we decided to get married. As we were planning for our wedding, what comes up? Family planning. I had kind of heard and read a little bit about how hormonal birth control could affect autoimmune disease. And I had 2 or 3 different doctors, I asked them all, is this going to be okay? sure, Sabrina, it's going to be okay. You know, we'll give you low dosages. It's going to be great. So a few months before the wedding, I start this regimen and instantaneously almost flares of skin patches, things that I'm noticing happening in my body that I know at this point, by this point, I was probably about 15 years into my diagnosis. So I'm like, this doesn't look right. This doesn't feel right. Something's happening here. So I was able to figure it out and come off of the hormonal birth control within 3 months. But by that point, the damage was done. Oh. So I will say that lupus is an autoimmune deficiency that shows itself in many different ways. So no two people have the same symptoms. For me, it affected my kidneys. I have a friend who has lupus. It affects her heart. I have another friend, it's just her skin. And so you never really know what you're gonna get. But for me, it affected my kidneys. And so I could tell that there were things changing, that there were things happening. My husband and I, we got through the wedding. And while we were on our honeymoon, it was something about being in the sun. We went to Florida that it really hit me. So here I am, sick on my honeymoon. And all I could think about at that time was, I can't wait to get back to the doctor. I think at that point, it wasn't just about me anymore. I have made this covenant. I have connected my life to somebody else. And we're in this together. And I want to be the best that I can be for him. So I get back. I go to the doctor. And once again, my rheumatologist at the time says, this is out of my wheelhouse. This is further progressed than anything that I am aware of or that I have knowledge of. So I am going to send you to a nephrologist who is a doctor that specializes in kidney disease. So I go to the nephrologist and he tells me, okay, in order to figure out exactly what's going on, you're going to have a kidney biopsy. So I am now 5 months in to my marriage. My husband was working on his PhD. So we were in two separate cities, which were 2.5 hours apart. So we go through the kidney biopsy, we get the results back, and it shows that it's class 4 lupus nephritis. So there are different classes, I think maybe between 1 and 5 or 1 and 6. And so I was at a class 4, which was kind of higher as far as damage or things, but not so high that it couldn't be reversed. So at this point, I think that my whole diagnosis had been, why me, why me, why me? And at this point, something changed. And I said, okay, what can I do, Lord? How can I cooperate with you? What is it that you want me to know? I'm aware that my body is a temple. You dwell here as well. And if there's something different that I can be doing to not work against you, show me whatever it is that I need to do. And I think at that point, this whole world, wealth of knowledge opened up to me. It found me. I mean, just about anything I saw when I opened my social media accounts or things of that nature were about vitamins and minerals and how this affects this body part and how this affects this organ. Things that I could do that I could actually take control of. And I would say, you know, faith without works is dead. This is what I can do. Lord, your will is sovereign. If you still have me fall into whatever type of flare, so be it. But I'm going to fight and I am going to work along with you. That's when I started to do more research, changing my diet, researching sleep, how important that is, different types of cycles that your body goes through, and just the amazing creation that God made when he made man and when he created nature. And I think sometimes the answers are just staring us in the face, but we don't partake.
So as you made those changes and you started feeling better physically.
Much better. Much, much better. I feel now I am the strongest and healthiest I've ever been in my entire life. And that's me coming from a history of gymnastics and dancing and much physical activity. But now, 20 years into this diagnosis, I feel strong. I feel healthy. I have endurance. I wake up in the morning with a spring in my step. I can bend. I can move. And all of those things that I can do now, even if it's just picking up something off the floor, or if I'm in a workout class and I do a squat, every single thing is, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for allowing me to have this mobility. I have really learned to do everything as unto the Lord. So workouts are worship. Jogging is praise. Bending over is just an opportunity to just be so grateful to Him because I understand what it's like to not have that movement. I understand what it's like to be constricted and to be in pain. And it's something you don't forget once you've been there. So when you can move freely and you have this mobility, it's just like, I don't know, the clouds parting, the sun shining down on you, just the Lord caring about every single little detail of your life, even if it's just being able to bend over to pick something up. Mm-hmm. He cares and He wants that for you. And that's, He created our bodies to be able to do those things. Yeah, He's just good. I think that for anyone who is on, I'll speak specifically to a health and wellness journey. It's very important to know what your reason why is. What is it that drives you, that motivates you when it comes to doing your part for your own well-being? I think that once I got married and your outlook starts to change and the things that you desire start to really show themselves, I think for me, my reason why was a family. I really wanted to be a mom. And I feel deep down in my heart that the Lord will allow me to be a mom. That was my driving factor. When I went into the gym, every squat was, this is what I want, Lord. These are my true desires and I'm working toward them. And it has really sustained me and carried me and helped me through. And I think that it's not only something I want. I believe that it's something that the Lord wants for me. And so that was a big thing that was always on my mind. Like, one day I'm going to be holding my baby in my arms. After I was diagnosed with the lupus nephritis, I was placed on a cocktail of drugs that were detrimental for pregnancy. And I had to sign forms saying that I understood, you know, what the consequences could be if I were to conceive while I was on these drugs. And it was just all about getting off of those drugs. And last July, I took that last pill. And the doctor looked at me and she said, if you were to come in here today and tell me that you have lupus, I would question it. I would not believe you. She said, you work so hard and it shows. And I can only just be so very grateful to God for answering my prayer and for the way that He did it, the way that He brought the knowledge to me, and the way that He gave me the strength to implement those things into my life so that I could do my part.
So that's a pretty big change from trying to figure out what it was you did wrong to deserve this punishment. Tell me how your relationship with God has evolved and changed from that and how it got to where it is now.
I think it was a very gradual thing of Him growing me up, allowing to mature, and sanctification in the process. I've learned a lot about God's character. And I think for me, just the overarching theme is His absolute perfect, holy sovereignty. And the fact that all things work together, good, bad, ugly, beautiful, and He has the final say. And it's just being able to trust the final say and know that I'm going to be safe, even though this life isn't perfect, because this world isn't perfect. We aren't perfect. That was just a big thing for me to learn. Like, I do have this reminder, like the lupus, I don't anticipate it going away. I think that it's there to be a thorn in my side to remind me that His grace is sufficient. He took my place. He is the perfect one. I am whole in Him. And I think that is what has really helped me along this process of sanctification and has helped me to mature in my walk with Him, because you realize some of the things that happen around you, little things, just aren't that big of a deal. And when you have a thorn in your side that shows itself when you're stressed or if there's some sort of trigger, then you're extremely aware and you're very careful about what you allow to bother you. And you have your categories or your boundaries of what's big and what's small, what's worth your time and what's not. And I would say really within the last 2 years or so, I've been learning more and more about give it to God. He's in control. I don't need control of this. I don't want control of this because all it's going to do is weigh me down. All it's going to do is make me ill. And he doesn't want that for me. And time again, he tells us, cast your cares upon me. I care for you. Don't worry about tomorrow. I'll take care of it. I am your provider. I am your advocate. I am your counselor. We don't need to take on all of the extra stuff. So we can just take a deep breath and just let it go, because nothing good comes from our worrying and our stress.
Sabrina says when she was young, she was embarrassed about her diagnosis, but somewhere along the way, something changed. Now, she says, this is her story and she's going to tell it because it could help someone. So she started by simply posting on Instagram the things she's learned in her health journey and her faith journey. And now hundreds of women find encouragement there. Sabrina says lupus is an avenue that the Lord has given her to help women who are struggling with health issues know there's a brighter side. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. You can follow Sabrina Scott on Instagram. Thanks to Sabrina for sharing her story. Thanks also to the team that makes Epic possible. Jason Rackow and Ted Ross for help with production. Thanks to Stefan Johnson for our theme music. And I'm your host, Meredith Foster. See you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.